Welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Christopher Husted. Honeybee colonies have been dying off at alarming rates in recent years. In the Midwest, some people wonder if planting row after row of corn and soybeans may be part of the problem. Researchers in Iowa are trying to find out. Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer reports on one factor that may contribute to the grim situation for pollinators in the Corn Belt.
So I need to close the pollen traps on these bees.
Farmer Nathan Anderson layers on a thick brown hoodie, long sturdy yellow gloves, and a beekeeper's hat with a screened veil. He approaches a pair of hives sitting on the edge of a field recently planted with corn.
That's where, as the bees are forced through those small openings, it brushes some of the pollen off.
Anderson is not a beekeeper. The hives belong to researchers at Iowa State University. They'll come here to Cherokee, Iowa, to collect the pollen and analyze it. They're looking for evidence of neonicotinoids, insecticides found in the coatings on most corn and soybean seeds. Researcher Mary Harris says when corn is planted, dust vented from the planter may contain residue from the seed coating. And Harris has found the pollen bees collect can contain some of those toxins.
The highest concentrations were detected in the pollen that was collected the week of planting.
The chemicals kill grubs, aphids, and beetles, not bees. Harris says the levels of insecticides in the pollen diminish after planting. Still, the exposure hurts.
They're not as able to carry out the various functions that are going to set the hive up to have a really healthy, successful season.
And that may lead to higher overwinter losses. Coated seeds are easy for farmers to use, and Harris says they can be an important part of an integrated pest management system. But
some of the aspects that make these such good chemicals may also be creating some environmental problems.
And the bee situation is dire. Over the past 8 years, nearly a third of all bees nationwide died annually. Beekeepers say some losses are routine, but the recent levels are jeopardizing the entire population.
So Eric's right now, he's actually pulling in beans, getting ready to treat them.
At Plunkett Seeds in Maxwell, Iowa, Gary Plunkett and his son Eric send plain yellowish-beige soybean seeds into a treatment chamber. They add a dull pink liquid and set the machine in motion. The seeds bounce and dance in a flow of air that sprays on the treatment.
It comes out tacky, but it's not like it's dripping wet or anything.
Plunkett can sell soybean seeds with or without the coating he's putting on, but he says most customers want it. All of his corn seed comes to him already treated. Farmers have used insecticides on their crops for decades, so Plunkett is skeptical that these seed coatings are now killing bees.
It is an easy escape for ag because just like the carryover of chemicals and stuff, it's easy to blame the farmer.
Scapegoating or not, the European Union has put a 2-year ban on certain neonicotinoids. And DuPont Pioneer is selling corn and soybean seeds without the toxins in Canada.
Even though we wish we could blame a single factor, we really can't.
Iowa State entomologist Amy Toth says even if neonicotinoids completely disappeared, bees would still be in trouble.
The corn dust could be having an impact on some hives in some situations. It's not explaining the whole collapse.
Figuring out what's killing bees, Toth says, is important to preserving the way we all eat.
We wouldn't starve to death without bees, but we would have a lot less variety in our diets, and the cost of food would go up a lot.
There is some good news for pollinators. USDA has made money available to help farmers create bee habitat on conservation land. Cover crops, which have been regaining popularity for a variety of reasons in the Corn Belt, can provide quality food for pollinators. And bee deaths this past winter were lower than they have been in years, but not yet low enough to reverse the trend. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
Nearly 130,000 homes were permitted to be built in Missouri last year, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. KBIA's Morgan Dzakowicz reports one unique house under construction in Columbia stands out among its neighbors.
Architect Daniel Karlov walks around the construction site of his most recent housing project. The roof is larger and higher than the other houses around it. There are windows in the corners of the walls. The house at the corner of Columbia's Ash Street and Sanford Avenue is different than any of the other houses in town. Karlov designed this house to consume zero energy, what's called a net zero house.
So the overall idea is that at the end of the year that we come to use zero energy. We produce as much as we use.
The city chose Karlov's net zero design in a competition for an energy-efficient, affordable house last year and granted $65,000 in federal funding to fill an empty lot with Karlov's net zero house.
We have 30 solar panels that will be on the roof, and that will generate enough electricity for a 1,300-square-foot house.
Karlov says between two different types of panels, a heat exchanger to warm water, and up to 45% more insulation than in a standard house, the house on Ash Street will be self-sustaining. There's another appeal, too. The house is designed to live bigger than its physical size.
We're trying to make a small house feel large. Psychologically, the spaces inside the house actually have vaulted ceilings, which isn't common for a budget house.
Karlov says the house will cost about $120,000 to build due to Habitat for Humanity's labor. That's about $20,000 less than if a contractor built it. But Karlov says most of the savings from the house will be long-term energy savings. City of Columbia Community Development Department housing specialist Eric Hempel says the green aspect of the house is crucial to its affordability.
One of the most significant costs for affordable housing, other than a mortgage, would be the energy costs. So as far as long-term durability and affordability, having a home be energy efficient is essential in our opinion.
The city is trying to raise awareness about energy-efficient buildings and take Columbia to the next step in energy-efficient building. The Net Zero House has been under construction since October, but progress has been delayed because of bad winter weather. It's expected to be completed in May. But Karlov says people can benefit from this house already.
Say you're going to build a house, and you can come by this one, and you can start looking at how things were done here and see maybe how you might want to incorporate some of that into the house.
With this first step, the Net Zero House will be a working demonstration of how a house consuming zero energy works. Morgan Dzakowicz, KBIA News.
That's all for this week's Under the Microscope. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.